Okay, well, welcome. This is K-3 Math, and I'm Melody Strite. I'm known to my students as Miss Mel, and I've taught for 13 years. The last, I always have to add up, 10 years, I've been teaching either first and second grade or first grade. So this is fun to have my students with me. We have Judson and Emmy and Natasha and Kenzie and Audrey. Really happy they could be here, and Denver should be coming in just a few minutes. So we're going to have a class. You all can just pretend it's just a normal math class, just like we always had, and just try to forget that there's lots of teachers back there with us. Let's start by doing flashcards. So if you could just put all your pencils and rulers down. You can all answer them to begin with, and then we might do some games. All right, so you can just call it answers.
4, 1.
Four.
Can you see, Audrey?
1, 2, 3, 2, 5, 1, 3, 2, 3, 2, 3, 2, 3.
Okay, and I'll start clapping. Tasha, can you speak back behind just get just a little bit so I'll hear this.
5, 5, 5, 1, 5, 4, 2, 2.
Ooh, that's too fast.
5, 5, 4, 4, 1, 1, 4, 4, 5, 4, 4, 5, 2, 3, 1, 1, 2, 2, 3.
Okay, welcome, Denver. We're glad you're here.
5, 5.
Good. All right, let's leave this stack for now. We might go back to it. Let's do some of our concept cards.
Circle. Penny Warren, Abraham Lincoln. Dime, 10 cents. Franklin D. Roosevelt. 1 dozen things equals 12 things. 1 hour equals 60 minutes. 1/2. 1/4.
What is it, everyone?
1/4. 1/3. 1 foot equals 12 inches. 1 yard equals 3 feet. 1 yard equals 36 inches.
Yeah, good job. Summer vacation. It's been a long time since we had to say this, hasn't it? All right, let's do, let's see who it is. That's my dogs in the doghouse. Sometimes for flashcards, I don't know, we try to do different things. We did flashcards at the beginning of class, but sometimes we play a game with them. We might have to use chairs. So the dogs in the doghouse, usually we just use their desk chairs, and those two race to say the fact, and whoever says it first gets to stay sitting in the doghouse. The other one that didn't say it first just travels on their own. All right, here, I'll...
3.
Okay, I'll
use it. 2. 2. 1. 3.
We would usually do a speed drill after we, you know, practice flashcards, but we're not going to be doing a speed drill today. So I hope you're not too sad about that. Maybe you're even happy about that. All right, let's do some counting. Oh, you can come to the hundreds chart. All right, Audrey will pretend it's your day. Audrey, you can point. Let's count by fives from 5 to 50. Can you all see?
5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50.
Good job. You can stop. I forgot. We had marks, didn't we? Now there's new markings. All right, you can count from 1 to 20 now. And then when you get to 20, go backwards.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 20, 19, 18, 17, 16, 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Okay, good job. Keep sitting down. Sometimes if they go too fast, slow down a little bit. Good. All right, let's go into your math lesson. Instead of a book, you have a paper. Just pass them down the table. All right, let's look at the top of the page. And you see those nice little blocks? You've got some like this and some like this. So how many stacks are there like this?
Three.
And who do we feed those to?
Pig.
Good.
Four.
Here, hold on. Who is it again?
Pig.
Yeah, it's the pig. How many does the pig get?
Three.
Good. He gets three sacks. Well, you told me that already. So go ahead and put it in the pig's place. What do we call that place?
Tenth.
Good. It's the tenth place. And how many little blocks like this are there?
Two.
Okay, and who's going to get those?
Sheep.
Sheep, okay. So give them to the sheep. What do we call that place?
Ones.
Good. Good, ones place. So if you have a 3 in the tens place and a 2 in the ones place, what number is it?
32.
Good, you can put that in the blank. Today we have a new fact, and let's say Judson. Judson was walking out or just playing out in his backyard, and he found these two red buttons. So pick them up, Judson. He found these two red buttons, and he thought, hey, that's neat. I'm going to run and show my mom. So he ran in to show his mom, and on the way in, he didn't lose any of them. He lost 0 of the buttons, and so when he got into the house, how many do you think, how many buttons did he have left?
Two.
Yeah, he had two left. Look, here's our new fact. Our new fact is 2, take away 0, equals 2. Can you say it with me? 2, take away 0, equals 2. That's right, we did use minus. I think on this lesson, we might still take away. Let's say minus. Show me fingers. 2 minus 0 equals 2. Again? 2 minus 0 equals 2. Good. You may write the new fact. When you get done writing it, you can say it out loud.
2 minus 0 equals 2.
2 minus 0 equals 2.
Time for the story problem. Denver can have the red, that's in the blue. I need the green, I'll do the purple or the orange, Kenzie can have the pink, and Josh purple. So go ahead and when you hear a number, you can use those. When David went to meet Goliath, he picked up 5 smooth stones from the brook. ones you're not going to use, just,
well, I guess keep them in case.
He put them into his bag. Later, David used one stone from his bag to kill Goliath. How many stones did he have left? You can tell me.
Four.
Okay, hold on, don't write yet. Don't write yet, Desmond. So, first of all, in this story problem, did we join groups or did we separate groups?
Separate.
We separated. Okay, show me with your blocks. How many stones did David pick up out of the brook?
Five.
Good. Can you show me? Okay. Now, how many stones did he, how many stones did he use to kill Goliath?
One.
Okay. So, then how many were left?
Four.
Four. Good. So, you can start writing. When David went to meet Goliath, he picked up five smooth stones from the brook and put them into his bag. Later, he used one stone to kill Goliath. How many stones did he have? Good. Now I'm going to put in your answer box. Can you tell me the number, the sentence that you wrote? What number sentence did you write? Start with five.
Five minus one equals four.
Okay, good. You can put your blocks back together. And I'll put the blue ones. Actually, I'll take the orange ones. The green ones. And the red ones. And the pink ones. And the purple ones. Sometimes when we did this in math class, I'd start calling out the numbers, and a couple of them would stick their blocks underneath the desk, see if the teacher could remember the color. So, Karen had fun with that, didn't we? All right, here's today's new fact. You know how some shapes are like exactly the same shape, and they're exactly the same size? And if they are the same size and the same shape, we say they are congruent. So that's sort of a big word. Can you say it with me?
Congruent.
Good. So these two circles, are they the same size?
Yes.
Are they the same shape?
Yes.
So they are congruent shapes. What's that? Congruent shapes. Now, how about this? Are these congruent shapes?
No.
So I'll show you two sets, and you can tell me congruent or not congruent. All right? What are these?
Not congruent. Congruent. Not congruent. Not congruent. Congruent. Congruent.
Good. Now, in your book, at number three, draw lines to match congruent shapes. Use your ruler. By the way, I don't know how well you can see, but I just put a copy of our lesson up there so you can kind of see what we're doing here. You can keep going. Can you find more? Directions for you. Use your pencil and ruler to draw a square by connecting the points. nice. Now, what does the picture in the middle look like? Do you want that picture?
Stoplight.
Yeah, stoplight. So normally I would have you cover, but I decided today we're gonna skip the covering. Look at those circles, though. Are they congruent?
Yes.
Yes, they are. They're three congruent circles. All right, here's a question for you to answer. And over there, you can put your answer in the blank. How many same length sides does a square have? Nice, now you can flip your paper over. And there's one more thing we'll do, and that is you can turn on your listening ear and write the numbers. Oh, this is something I try fairly soon to work on with them. See if you can get the number and write it after I just say it one time. Okay, if you need me to, I'll say it again for you. But see if you can get it the first time. Write 71. Right, 40. Right, 17. And the last one, right, 8. this kind of illustrated just a little bit some of the things you run into with math. And then I just really admired the teacher in this story. You probably read Understood Betsy. Betsy, Elizabeth Ann, had just moved to Vermont to live with her Putney cousins, and it was her first day in school. Just then, her class in arithmetic was called so that she had no more time to be puzzled. She came forward with Ralph and Ellen again, very low in her mind. She hated arithmetic with all her might, and she really didn't understand a thing about it. By long experience, she had learned to read her teacher's faces very accurately, and she guessed by their expression whether the answer she gave was the right one. And that was the only way she could tell. You never heard of any other child who did that, did you? They had mental arithmetic, of course. Elizabeth Ann thought it just her luck. And of course, it was those hateful eights and sevens. And of course, right away, poor Betsy got the one she hated most, 7 times 8. She never knew that one. She said dispiritedly that it was 54, remembering vaguely that it was somewhere in the 50s. Ralph burst out scornfully, 56! And the teacher, as if she wanted to take him down for showing off, pounced on him with 9 times 8. He answered without drawing breath, 72. Elizabeth Ann shuddered at his accuracy. Ellen, too, rose to the occasion when she got 6 times 7, which Elizabeth Ann could sometimes remember and sometimes not. And then, oh, horrors, it was her turn again. Her turn had never before come more than twice during a mental arithmetic lesson. She was so startled by the swiftness with which the question went around that she balked on 6 times 6, which she knew perfectly. And before she could recover, Ralph had answered and had rattled out a 108 in answer to 9 times 12, and then Ellen slapped down an 84 on top of 7 times 12. Good gracious, who could have guessed from the way they read they could do their tables like this? She herself missed on 7 times 7 and was ready to cry. After this, the teacher didn't call on her at all, but showered questions down on the other two, who sent the answers back with sickening speed. And then a while later, so I guess that illustrates the kind of students we don't want to have. I mean, that's not how we want them to know their facts. I guess a few months later, Betsy was reciting her arithmetic. She was getting on famously with that. Weeks ago, as soon as Miss Benton had seen the confusion of the little girl's mind, the two had settled down to a serious struggle with that subject. Miss Benton had had Betsy recite all by herself so she wouldn't be flurried by the others, and to begin with, had gone back to bedrock, to things Betsy absolutely knew, to the 2x2s and the 3x3s. And then, very cautiously, a step at a time, they had advanced, stopping short whenever Betsy felt a beginning of that bewildered guessing impulse, which made her answer wildly at random. After a while, in the dark night which arithmetic had always been to her, Betsy began to make out a few definite outlines which were always there, facts which she knew to be so without guessing from the expression of her teacher's face. From that moment, her progress had been rapid, one sure fact hooking itself onto another and another one onto that. She attacked a page of problems now with a zest and self-confidence which made her arithmetic lessons among the most interesting hours at school. So I feel like maybe we should have Miss Benton here to talk to us about, how to teach students math. I don't intend to talk for very long here, because I'd like to spend most of our time in discussing. I will just show you a few things that I use, that I like to use. Maybe things that are tricky, I don't know. For place value, I have this. And I think it really helps to refer to, I also have these blocks. I think they're from the Math UC curriculum. The sheep always gets these, and the pig always gets these, and the horse always gets these. It kind of helps tie it into their lines. I also use the count up. On the first day of school, somebody puts a straw in this container, and they write a number 1 here. Second day of school, another straw, they erase it and write a 2, And so every day, every school day, we put one straw in. When we get 10, we take them up and move it to the tens place. And so they're kind of getting, yeah, just a little place value every day, I guess. See if I can do this. Thermometers, I have a thermometer that I can do with a dry erase marker for class, and then also have real thermometers. I have one in the window, I don't know if you can see it, I just keep one, I think I heard another teacher say she did that. I keep one between the window and the screen so that when they're learning thermometers, sometimes we have to check the outside temperature. And so it's kind of fun when they learn how to do it, and so when even when it's not math class, they're interested, you know, what's the temperature outside, and they can go look for themselves. For clocks, it's nice. I have a whole bunch of little ones and a big one. One thing I use, I remember a teacher talking about, probably at Faith Builders, and that is when she taught her students math. She told them that the big hand was the mama hand, and the little hand is the baby hand. And the mama counts by fives. She runs all the way around the property counting by fives. But, you know, the baby just crawls. When you're going to write the time, when you walk into a room and you see a mama holding a baby, well, which one do you look at first? You look at the baby, because it's so cute. And so you look at the baby, because it's so cute. And so you always write the baby first. And stuff like that helps it stick a little bit. I try to make sure that I also call it the minute hand and the hour hand, so they're not just, so they don't think it's, you know, so they don't think the name is the mama and the baby and don't go any further than that. I like to have rec and recs. They can be, I don't know, they can be very useful, like during class, if they're figuring something out, they can, you know, 2 plus 3, and they can solve things for themselves. When we're practicing flashcards or learning facts, I do like to make sure that they know how to figure them out. Like, they have to know how to use their fingers, you know, because some children, I think, just have that number sense and some don't. They have to know how to use their fingers, 1 plus 1. You know, using beads, using whatever. So for a while, I mean, that's great. Like, I want them to know how to do that. And then after a while, they need to move beyond that. And that's when I feel like just start practicing flashcards. And I want to have some discussion on that. Like, I would love to know how you all get your flashcard drill in enough, yeah, to make it actually very effective. Fractions, I have magnets, but I don't know that I use them that much. I like to cut up, I mean, you can cut up apples and cookies and, you know, bananas for thirds. I think I've heard of people doing tortillas. That would be something pretty easy that the students could cut up. And one thing with that I usually ask them, and it makes it more real maybe if you're doing a cookie, like if you cut the cookie here, well, is it fair? If you two divide this cookie and you cut it right here, if it's not fair, then it's not 1/2 of the cookie. You know, it's not an equal part. When we compare numbers, this one, you know, like which one's bigger? I use the birds. So if we have 9 here and 11 here, well, the birds are greedy and they're always going to have their mouth open to the biggest number. And so you go like that. And so they can practice with the birds. If it would be the other way, they put this bird, and then they can learn to make that beak. And so then when they're making the beak, you know, it's, you're making the hungry mouth. The hungry mouth is always open to the biggest one. Something I would love to try is, maybe some of you have ideas or you've done this, is practicing math facts with movements. I don't know, where you do the same movements every time you say a number or something like that. I don't know. I would love to know if y'all have methods for doing that or things that have worked for you or, yeah, whatever. Anyway, I think that is all. So I'd love to have discussion, and I'm going to ask the first question. And then I guess if we get done discussing my question, yeah, more questions, more answers. How do you practice math flashcards enough? And I guess what are good ways to practice? Sometimes it seems like at school. So at school, I have them, once they know how, they practice the stack of flashcards by themselves every day. I don't always know, does that do any good? And sometimes they can give it to each other, and we do it in class, and I like to give them individually every day that I give them. Sometimes that's enough for a student, and sometimes it's not. Anyway, what do you all do?
I like the individual goals where they have, I like little charts, or when I did this, and then they would say the first time you did it with your student, and they did 50 flashcards or 20 flashcards or whatever you have, I have to wait for a while to get a number. But they get that many in a minute. You write down, they got maybe 40 in a minute or so. And then the next day, if they get 41, they get a sticker. They get a sticker the first time, no matter what. And then if they get over 40, if they get 40 or 41, then they get a sticker. And it's working against their own power instead of setting a standard that they have to get over.
I like that. You know what? I tried that for the first time this last year after Christmas, and I thought it helped. I also did the thing that I wrote their high score at the top, you know, so if they got 50 one day and only 40 the next, I would erase the 50 on their chart. I don't know, is this how you do it? I'd erase the 50 and put 40, so the next day if they got 40 or 41, okay. But I'd write the 50 at the top of the chart, and then anytime they got that high score, they'd get two stickers. And then if they got higher, I'd write the new high score up there, just so they had a little more.
Set their goals for themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, but I like that, because it's racing against themselves. Yeah.
I did something similar, but this was with fourth grade that was really struggling with triplets. And so I found these, they looked almost like a graph paper, but it was a big chart, similar to those number charts. They were big. And so, since they were fourth graders, we did by twos. I would write the numbers by twos. And they would do flashcards. However many they got in the minute, they would color up to that number. And it was their goal to beat their own record. So each person had their own chart. They weren't competing with each other. It's been a long time since I've done that. But I think if they beat their highest, every time they would beat their own score, they get to put a sticker on their chart or something special. I don't remember. They loved coloring those charts. Even my first grader, he would sit there and practice his flashcards, and I'd give him a chance. If they wanted to practice flashcards before I gave it to them or practice them at home, they were allowed to do that also. But I had to give them once a day.
Yeah.
For a minute.
That's neat. So they were just hanging on the wall of the classroom?
Yeah, they were just tucked behind the door, like very similar to those number charts.
Was that a problem then, like if everyone can see what everyone else is doing?
No.
Bragging? And
there was one that was really good at it. The other two weren't. It was more of a personal thing. I wondered a little bit about that myself, but I didn't have any issues. It all depends your students.
Exactly. It was behind the door, so it's not very obvious.
Well, very similar to that one.
Yeah.
If the door was open, it covered it.
Okay.
But it was more just a personal, they didn't really look at each other's charts that much.
Okay.
I made it more of a personal thing, not a grade thing.
Did they color a line every day? Like the chart eventually got filled.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it was kind of like,
use the other side.
So then they could look and see their progress.
Yeah, because they wanted it to be like a mountain. They hated this up and down. They would try at least one card extra every day. That was their goal, one card extra day.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, who can't get one card extra?
Right.
in doing that, I think they got, I think the girl that got the most was almost up to 100 a minute. She did pretty good.
Wow.
The others struggled, but it was just an incentive for them. Mm-hmm. They loved it.
I like that. Any others? Or maybe you practice flashcards in a different way.
Something I did last year, which I just said secondly last year, so I had more time to, but I hung up, I think it's, I don't know if it's rod and staff or something. I'm back there. You know, I'm sure it's been rod and staff. They have these blossoms. And then the
yes.
And then we would chant at like 5, 6, 11, 11, 6, 5.
Okay.
And not put in the minus and plus or whatever. They just always knew that those two numbers would be good.
So how did, I think I've heard some other teachers saying she remembered doing that when she was in school. Okay. So like, would you go along, I think I know what you're talking about. I think I actually, yeah, you might have those too. Do you like do that every day?
We did. Or? We did that, yeah, at the beginning of every math class.
And would you go through like 5, 6, 11, 6, 5, 11, and then would 7, 4, 11, like would you do all of them?
Yeah, like I think we did all the 11s, all the 13s, all the 14s.
Okay.
Yeah.
I should try.
And then I think what I did, maybe some days, okay, today let's really focus on those two or whatever. Like maybe for one of each, every day we'll at least say those a couple times or something.
Okay.
Did you
say
you would say it or you would sing it?
Kind of chant it.
Like you have a tune kind of?
No, just kind of the box, 6, 11.
Because I've heard that if you sing, you'll remember.
Well, we were just in music class.
You can sing your those numbers too. Just
yeah.
Pick up your own little chant, and then you'll remember it.
Yeah.
It's a little triple sign, like they come to a fact. They don't know. Is it what number's missing? Oh, but they say the triple to themselves, they can tell me it's.
So you would practice just those three numbers too?
Yeah, just 11, 7, 4, 11, 7. And then any fact that has those three numbers, what number is testing, that's your answer either.
I need to do that a little more. Yeah. I feel like, you know, I feel like they saw the fact. They figured it out the first day. They knew it. I kind of need easy things to do every single day. Otherwise, yeah, I'm kind of lost.
I would do that a little bit, like, what about a staff calls a trip?
Okay.
Yeah, that's true. It's not, we didn't do that with them. It's really well mentioned. Yeah.
I think some do it more.
We would still chant like the up to 10. Math for me was very difficult as a child. It brings back bad memories. But I love teaching math, probably because it was so hard for me. It's easy for me to give them helps.
Mm-hmm.
So I tend to very much chant math back, stomp your feet with the, I mean, within reasonable amount. More often they're like standing there wagging their heads like this, 11, 9, 3, 11.
Yeah.
Doing that. But even the up to the tens, we still had our little rhythm that we would do. Sometimes just tapping.
Yeah,
and it helped us
think. Well, I would say moving. Like, moving has to help.
It's crossing the middle line.
Okay.
And that's very, very important for memorization.
Okay.
Multiplication times feels great too. When they clap, they did.
Oh.
There you go. I don't know, maybe it's been a while, but 4 times, 7, 8, you know.
Yeah.
That's just what I was going to say with like cross.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
And that
and then, like, cross and then clap. Or
yeah.
You can even do it for like plus.
You could.
And I think we did it for minus 3. We'd say the big number and then do that. Like it.
Thank you. Does anyone have a different question? I went on a trip this summer. There were lots of teachers, and I loved the way that at any moment a teaching discussion could break out, and we could just, yeah, talk about stuff. So does anyone have, we just have a couple minutes. Does anyone just have, I don't know, something teachers, something you want to share, or another question that you have that you'd like to hear someone talk about?
How much should you use a timer?
That's a good question. And is it okay to give them more time, like on a speed drill?
I have grades 3 and 4, and where they say to do 1 minute, I have them do 2. Yep. So that they get more facts in. And then, for sure in fourth grade, I'll have them only count what they get in 1 minute, and they have to keep going to do 2 more. Unless they get done before then. Like, they only get that 2. They only get that 1 minute amount to mark in the back. So
that's just, but then they can be good.
Right.
Well, and that's what I would have done with first grade, but I don't know. I had one that otherwise his math facts were pretty solid. But it felt like the timer was kind of the bad thing. I just gave him more time.
Well, I ask that carefully because I think it's good if we can have them working on timer because they're going to go through life and they're going to have deadlines. But at the same time, I think, especially for first and second grade, you better be aware that there's going to be some that might freeze. I found an interesting way of going around the room with the timer with flashcards, like you did right here, but you just start at 1 and go around, and they have to be watching. Because your first flashcard is for the first child, the second flashcard is for the second child, and so on. And they create a group effort to break their own record.
Okay. Like the timer's going. Let's see how many we can get.
And you tell them, okay, everybody ready? I'm going to start the timer. And then, Austin, you're going to be the first one. And then you go around. Yeah. Kind of creates more of a class effort, and they're not focused.
Yeah.
They're more focused on themselves than one person, usually.
And it also creates a little bit of a sense of urgency.
Yes.
Sometimes it feels like, because it can feel like they just, let's just stand here. I don't know this fact. I'm just going to stand here.
Well, if it comes to that, if there is one that freezes during the time, then I ask the next person, can you help them out?
Okay.
That way they don't all keep it down. Right.
Thank you. I like that. Okay, well, thank you, everybody. Thanks for your thoughts and for listening. You're dismissed.